KI7 is going to be mobile listening on 10-9.
Good morning, Mr. Rick. You're up and about early, ACADG.
Yes, good morning. On my way north to Harbor Springs. Got to leave early to get there early. It's just one of those things. How's Jim doing?
Boy, that's going to have to be the profound statement of the day. You got to leave early to get there early. I like those kinds of quotes.
Well, I'm full of them. Oh, darn. Yeah, on my way to Harbor Springs. So, this past weekend, I successfully managed to put leather protection on my mask, and I learned the baseball stitch and all kinds of crazy things. I have sore fingers to prove it all.
I have to think about that, learning how to do lacing and stuff like that. I really don't know why you need leather protection on the mask. You're going to have to explain that a little. Is that to act as a bearing?
No, the boom and the yardarm on the sail rest on the side of the mast. They float freely, so it's hung by the halyard, and there's a line that goes around the opposite side, so they hang freely on the mast. And now that I've varnished it up all nice, and I've varnished the boom and the yardarm all nice, I don't want them rubbing together like they were pre-varnished. So I've got leather shape points or wear points for the boom and the yardarm now.
You know, you always make me think about those things, on how they used to call it a gooseneck, makes the attachment between both the yardarm and the boom to the mast. But those are usually like a metal hoop. I gotta think about this.
Yeah, imagine a gaff rig, but there's no gaff, so the yardarm or the gaff boom on a gaff rig, it just lays on the side of the mast. So it's kind of like a conversion between the old square rigger and a sail. You know, it's called a lug rig. So it's a old-fashioned design without a lot of parts, basically.
Okay, well, you've got to explain one minor detail. Now, if you're on a starboard tack, does that mean that those are both on the lee side of the mast, and then when you just switch over to a port tack, is it rubbing up against the front side of the mast? I got to kind of visualize that.
Yep, exactly. Yeah, the boom and the yardarm stay on the port side all the time. So it's not quite as efficient in one direction, but it doesn't really feel that way. When I say it, I can't detect any real difference. But and then the leading edge of the sail, which would normally be in the track, is actually about 6 inches ahead of the mast. It rests about 6 inches ahead of the mast.
Okay, well, I understand how that would work on the port tack. Then when you're on a starboard tack, doesn't the main sheet hit the mast?
Yep, sure does. Sure does. It looks really strange, but so far I've only had that light wind, and it seems pretty darn efficient, although the boat's extremely light, so that might account for a lot of it. But I'll have to, I don't know if I have your email or not, I'll have to get you some photos when I raise, and I have some of when I have the sail raised. It would explain a lot. But yeah, it's interesting. I'm impressed with how well it appears to operate, even though it looks kind of weird.
Okay, final technical question for you on the main sheet. Do you have any battens that run across them, and do you have any reef points built in?
So the sheet has zero battens, and there are three reef points. So I can, if you imagine the triangle formed by a gaff rig, so I've got a set of reef points up that high on the sail, so you can pretty much sail with that small triangle if necessary. Or the whole sail, but there's one reef point about a foot and a couple inches above the boom. There's another one maybe 2 feet from that, and then the highest one is up a lot closer to the yard arm.
Okay, well I can follow that. It's always interesting, you know. These days when I sail, I never think about reef points and trying to reef a sail while you're underway, so to speak, or when you're out in the water. I've only done it while I'm at the dock.
Well, I would tell you, for me, it's a lot easier on a large boat than it is on a small boat, because you can't walk around and get all that stuff done in a small boat very easy. In a larger boat, if you've got somebody holding it up wind, at least you can get around on the boat and manage everything. So, but yeah, it's reefing. I don't know if I was going to reef it. I'd probably reef it ahead of time based on what my wind conditions were. I don't think there's any way I could do it underway. I can. Just now, after I put in a cam cleat at the bottom of the mast, not the bottom, but at the where it goes into the mast partner, so that I can actually lower the mainsail while I'm underway, just so that I can then take it under oar. But I can't alone go up to the front of the boat and let the halyard. Out without seriously, you know, being in danger of going overboard. It's only a 16-foot boat, so anyway, yeah, reefing's a big pain in the neck unless you're not moving.
Okay, so a cam lock for the halyard as opposed to just a cam cleat versus just a tied-off cleat. And think about that. Yeah, because when I've ever worked with reefing, it's always been on, say, a 25-plus size boat, where you could actually walk up, where you actually had winches, where the halyard was on a winch. I don't know if that makes any sense.
Oh, yeah, it makes a lot of sense. So my original design is a bronze cleat on the starboard side of the mast, you know, to tie off the halyard. And what I've done is now that halyard comes straight down the back end of the mast into a cam cleat pulley that changes the direction 90 degrees. So now down the mast and then back toward the beam. So if I need to drop the sail, I can pull it and release it from that cam cleat and let it come down. Hopefully under control and not just landing on my head.
Okay, well, you know, to highlight the all the varnish and the woodwork, I assume you just have white sails. Have you used colored halyards or colored main sheets?
Yeah, so the sail is, it's like a natural white. The boat is, the color of the boat is a gray with a little bit of green color to it. And the, all the lines are black. I picked some pretty high-end line for it simply because I like the black color. And same with the reefing ties are all black, stuff like that. So now I don't have, what's the reefing system that that a lot of people use? I don't have that set up. Well, you have to have a loose foot sail to be able to do that, and I can't do that because it's actually laced to the foam.
I'm not exactly sure what you mean. The only other thing I've seen is to assist you in reefing is stay sail lines that kind of keep the sail, well, you understand. But reefing systems, I've never operated one that has anything more than just you tie it off at various tie points on grommets.
Yeah, there's something a lot of these guys that have to reef a lot. I forget what the heck it's called, but basically, but it only works on, maybe you can do it on a conventional sail, but they have lines running through the major bonnets along the tack and the clew. They have lines running up there, and if they let the halyard down, they can simply tighten up on them, and it cinches the sail up on those major points, and then you just have to tie a little reefing ties on. But I forget what it's called. I can't remember the name of it. It's something new to me because I'm old.
Well, that would be convenient, but for a 16-foot boat, I don't think you need all that fancy stuff. I like just tie off. But let's get back to black lines. You know, there's a type of marine sheets that are lines, whatever you want to call them. They're not Kevlar, but they're low stretch, but real expensive stuff, like 60 cents a foot.
Yeah, that's what I got. The lines have a Dyneema core, and they do not give at all. It's amazing how low stretch that stuff is. But I picked them because the black kind of goes well, a lot of the whites or a lot of the sail, not sail, but the line types have flecks of color in them and things like that, and I just figured I'd go, and the black just looked nice, so that's what I went with.
Yeah, the Dyneema core or whatever you call it there, I actually just purchased a set of, well, they're 30-foot dock lines. I think they're 5/8 dock lines. 5/8 inch diameter stuff. I mean, they hold like 30,000 pounds or something like that. But for dock lines, and they already had an end eye on them, which I use for my tree pulling work.
Ah, perfect. Yeah. Yeah. A lot of the tree guys still use polypropylene, simply because it doesn't stretch all that much. And it's fairly cheap. I have a friend that's a tree guy, and he made me put some splices in his polypropylene line for him. He wanted loops in them, so I set him up with some loops. But it's really nice line, and it's the kind of stuff you'd want if you were mountain climbing, I bet.
Yeah, Yeah, you know, I used to buy the polypropylene. I don't buy that anymore. Now I always get it where it's got the fine double braid on the outside. Just everything just handles much easier. Whatever the core is, and then you've got that second, you understand, the second layer on the outside.
Yeah, it's a lot better on your hands. It doesn't rip your fingers open. And polypropylene, you know, the life of that stuff is pretty short. If it gets a lot of UV, it turns into dust and little prickly things that mess up your hands and stuff like that. But at least it doesn't slingshot like nylon.
Yeah, I used to buy stretchy stuff, and I learned the hard way, let's put it that way. Don't ask me too many questions about that.
Oh, I hear you. Yeah, I saw an accident with nylon, and the boat almost got its windshield knocked out. It was kind of crazy.
Oh, I believe it. You know, it's amazing when how much force there is on when you're trying to pull a boat onto a trailer. You understand?
Oh yeah, oh yeah. And the bigger it is, the worse it is. But anyway, yeah, that was my weekend. Doing leather work. I've moved on to leather work now. So if you do leather work now, now's the time to ask for it while I'm in the middle of it. I bought some punching tools and some leather glue and things like that. I'm moved on to the oars now. I got the leather cut for my oars, and I have to make the strips to do the buttons and stuff like that. So, but all that needs to be punched and then tied on. So. That's my next task, maybe this weekend.
Okay, final question. On the leather, do you have a special oil that you oil it, kind of like a baseball glove?
You know, there is some oil or leather protection stuff, and I haven't gotten that deep into it yet. I had to buy the punches, and I had to find leather that was the right size, and then I had to get the, not Dacron, it is, I forget what the cord's made out of. It's wax something, and then needles that fit the cores and all that stuff. So it's been a bit of figuring things out, you know, and how to cut it so that you get the right stretch on it and everything like that. It's kind of been fun.
Well, very interesting. Okay, well, good conversation, but I'm gonna let you drive in pseudo peace and let somebody else take over. ACADG is like QSY to Mr. Kitchen.
Well, have fun in the kitchen. Have a big cup of coffee for me. Again, it's always a pleasure, sir. 73K, have a great day today. KS7QMD, back to listening.
WDADX Folio 14714, good morning.
KI7 QMD Mobile 19. Good morning.
Well, long time no hear, my friend. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm also doing my job and another job, so I've been really busy.
I'd say it's good for you, but you know, I'm at a point in my life where you better find some time to relax, right?
Yeah, well, I got to fill the gap. I am now, I guess my title is interim president, yet my vice president job didn't go away.
So what you're saying is you need a promoter hired from without.
Yeah.
Well, if the money's right, let me know.
Oh, God, I haven't even had a chance to talk about money. It's been a lot of catch-up and fixing of the big mess, so, to say the least. But it's getting better, one day at a time.
Well, that's the best part is when you're cleaning up everybody else's mess. I mean, I was working on a sign yesterday that I got part of the story and didn't get the whole story, and I ended up basically a couple hours of fruitless activity only to send the part in to have it repaired. So, anyway, that's a long story short as it is.
Oh, I hate situations like that. I'm out early today. I'm almost in the Petoskey. I'm coming up on the Home Depot area here. We have our monthly entire crew meeting, today's the Harbor Springs version of it, so I gotta be up here all ready to go at 8 a.m., so it's always fun.
Yeah, we got our big crew meeting tomorrow, so the boss does it every so often just to kind of keep everybody on the same page, so should be interesting, but just go in. I've got a patrol car to try to finish up before Friday. Shouldn't be too bad. I should be able to make that work. So if everything works well, maybe tomorrow I'll have it done. So we'll see how things go.
Ah, cool. Yeah, I got to drive down almost to Detroit tomorrow. I've got a MBIA meeting. I'm on the board for the Michigan Boating Industry Association, so I gotta go down there for a board meeting and probably spend the afternoon sitting in the chair arguing with people.
Just remember, don't argue with stupid people because it only takes you down to their level.
Well, you are right about that, and that is some of the best advice you can give anybody.
It took me a long time to accept that fact. You know, you always want to defend yourself, but there's a point where you just say, no.
Yeah, I'm at the point if I call a call center and I'm talking to a stupid person, I will call them on the opposite side of their shift, you know, where the next people come in or something like that to get different people.
There you go. Oh, shoot. Hey, I am about to lose this repeater, so you have yourself a good day. Good to hear you on here again. I got a story to tell you, so get on.
Well, we'll definitely have to get together if you can still hear me. You have a great day. 73 KI7 QMD. Back to listening.
Thank you.
animal.
Kilo Echo 8 Fox Julie Whiskey monitoring.
Hey, Deering. Was somebody calling KEA USA?
Yeah, station. This is KEAAGL, Kilo Echo 8, Alpha Golf Lima. Just setting up a camp here at Wilderness State Park and just playing with the repeaters. Name is Jay from Kalamazoo, Michigan.
Okay, Jay, yeah, you got Frederick, KCA, USA, and Holton Lake, Michigan.
Yeah, roger that, Fred. Good talking to you. I'm going to get back to setting up camp. I was just kind of curious to see if it worked out. Is this repeater active at all?
I don't know which one you're on, but I can't tell you for sure. You have to ask N9KOP, or there's a guy in Sheboygan, but somebody might come back to you here, but I'm not sure. But N9KOP is a good friend of ours, and I can't keep track of him anymore. I'm getting too old for that. KCA USA.
Well, all right, KC USA, thanks for coming back to me. As I say, I was going to get back to setting up camp here. And then I'll be maybe checking in later. KEAATL.
Okay, yeah, it says on my radio that you're on the Petoskey repeater, so if that helps you any, then you can look it up in the repeater book. All right, talk to you later. Good talking to you. Stay safe, healthy, and happy, and have fun camping. KCA USA.
W8FIK.